Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening and welcome back to an adventure in history. We are so glad you're joining us once again. We're just in the middle of August. Summer's flying by. I brought one of my summer, non-summer besties with me today.
Non-summer besties?
Yeah. I said summer, non-summer. Doesn't matter what time of year it is.
I was going to say, why even say that? One of my besties.
One of my besties.
That was just weird. I was trying to figure out, like, okay, wait, are you the summer friend and not the school friend? Or are you the school friend that doesn't know what she does in the summertime?
Either way.
It was both.
This is a terrible introduction.
But it was.
Amber Hill with Ocean Crest Auto here with us tonight. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Also the mother of Tunetti and Lincoln, which is how I know her as well. We're carpool moms.
Carpool moms. Okay.
Yes.
We're gym moms.
Gym moms. Yes. Mm-hmm. Gym, carpool, all the things. But we're going to talk.
You can tell it's summer. You're like off your game.
I know. Thanks for pointing that out there, Mac.
I don't think I needed to. Usually it's me. I do think that there's perhaps a drinking game out there for every time I mispronounce something.
Ooh, there could be.
I think there could be.
Well, here, I could just insert my word.
Speaking of mispronouncing.
I need to just fudgel a little bit more.
Ooh, fudgel, I like that.
This is my historic word. Word that we may bring back or may not.
And this is an adjective?
It is actually a verb.
A verb.
Yep.
Fudgel. And I guess first, and then you have to guess. But I guess first so that I can sound really stupid and you can sound marginally smarter than me. So fudgel.
Yep.
It's a verb to fudgel something. I think I'm going to go with the obvious. It's to mess something up.
Close, but no cigar.
Okay.
Amber?
Yeah, I would say it's like to maybe cook something in a messed up way.
Oh, there you go. It's to pretend to work without actually doing anything.
Oh, I like that.
We could probably bring that word back.
Yes.
Are you fudgeling on that computer or are you just playing solitaire?
I am fudgeling through this radio program right now.
This is not work for either one of us.
This is not. No, this is fun.
This is fun. This is like the best part of my week.
I love it.
I'm not going to make you say it's the best part of your week because your kids might be like, what?
I know.
Okay. So let's get to History Alley because this is going to be a good show. So these are the things that happen tomorrow, August 19th, as always. Bar bets, wagering, things to talk about in the carpool.
Yes.
Things to probably not quiz your kids about, but hey. All right, so August 19th, things that happened on August 19th, 1812. Old Ironsides earns its name.
Okay.
During the War of 1812, the U.S. Navy frigate Constitution, the USS Constitution, defeats the British frigate, speaking of mispronouncing words, Guerriere.
Okay.
In a furious engagement off the coast of Nova Scotia, witnesses claim that the British shot merely bounced off the Constitution's sides as if the ship were made of iron rather than wood. By the war's end, Old Ironsides.
Okay.
So there it is. And it's part of the Navy. It's the oldest ship in the U.S. Navy.
Okay.
It's in Boston Harbor, and it once visited here in the 1930s.
Okay.
Because the mill at Westport made new masts for it, and as a thank you, it came around to show up here and people could tour it.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And I have a connection to this that one time I worked with an English student from Oxford University in a summer camp, and he was 19, I was 19. After the summer, all the Brits and European kids had like 3 or 4 weeks they could go around the country. Before I had to go back to college, I said, well, I'll drive you around. So we went to Boston, and he was a historian, and we toured. He's an English historian. We toured Old Ironsides, and I never thought about it until the guy giving the tour is talking about how great this ship is. And it sank this British ship, and it sank that British ship. And this English guy that was with me goes, this is the most amazing ship ever. You should use it still in your Navy. It's invincible. And he was really insulted. It was very funny. He had a snippy English accent making fun of how great we thought the ship was.
Right.
But it is a pretty great ship. All right, way too long. 1909, the first race is held at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Ooh, fun.
See a car connection.
There we go.
All right.
Do you like watching car races?
I feel like I should answer yes, but I'm not huge into it. No.
I mean, they just go in a circle. over and over.
I know.
Like
and
for 100 laps.
And over.
Yeah.
I don't mind the racing in the race itself, but I'm perplexed at watching it.
I don't understand.
I don't even like sitting in the car on the racetrack either.
Ooh, now see, that actually sounds fun, but I would want to be the only one in the car, on the track.
That's
like,
true.
I don't want anybody else.
I don't trust the other drivers.
No.
And I never see them signaling. Okay. don't laugh.
Or honking their horns.
Do those things even have horns?
They can't.
I wish they did.
You know what? I can't remember what the car had on it when it was on the racetrack.
It's like very basic, right?
Yeah.
I love the idea of it having, get out of my way. Honk, honk. Flash the headlights. Get out of my way. All right.
We digress.
Somehow we got silly.
I know.
1934, Adolf Hitler becomes the president of Germany. They're not all good. Yeah. 1934, the first all-American soapbox derby is held in Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, how fun.
I wish I was old enough to have participated in a soapbox derby. It seems like it'd be really fun to me.
Actually, they still exist.
I know they do.
Yeah. But yeah, we don't have them around here, and we have some great hills. They're too good, right?
I think the driving down towards the dump in Astoria would be a great road with all the curves.
Right.
Wouldn't it be fun?
It would.
Or
till the bay at the end, right?
Or if we don't care about whether the kids survive, we could go down 16th Street.
Ooh, yeah.
Because I don't think those things have brakes, do they?
I don't think so.
But it seems fun to me.
No idea. It does seem kind of fun.
Yeah. I agree.
Maybe you could sponsor
it. We all agree.
You could bring it back.
Ooh, yeah, because right. Amber needs one more thing on her plate.
1946, Bill Clinton is born. I wonder whatever happened to him. 1951, Bill Veeck, as in Wreck, the owner of the St. Louis Browns at the time, sends Eddie Gaedel, a 3-foot-7-inch little person, to pinch hit. He walks on 4 pitches.
Oh.
Bill, I love Bill Veeck. Bill Veeck is one of the reasons I love baseball. He's very funny. We could do a whole show on him.
Okay.
But because the strike zone is knees to the chest, he couldn't pitch to a guy who's 3 foot tall.
Right. So, okay.
And apparently Bill Veeck threatened him. He said, if you swing the bat, I'm going to shoot you. Because that was going to ruin the whole. Okay. Moving on. 1953, CIA assisted coup overthrows the government of Iran, reinstates the Shah. 1960, captured U.S. spy pilot, sentenced in Russia. Gary Powers is given 10 years, and he gets traded 18 months later.
Okay.
Do we know the story of Gary Powers?
No.
He was on a U-2 spy plane, and you were supposed to, whenever you flew one of these things over Russia, you were supposed to not have any ID so that we could say, we don't know who this guy is, not our plane, not our pilot, and he gets shot down, and he has his ID on him. So everyone knows he's Colonel whoever, Gary Powers, U.S. Air Force. And Khrushchev and Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, are about to have a summit, and they give him the out. The Russians say to Eisenhower, you must not have known about this. Must be rogue people in your government doing this without your knowledge. And either the most brilliant, honest, wonderful thing or the most horribly diplomatic, undiplomatic thing, Eisenhower says, no, I knew all about it. I approved it. And the Russians go, well, now we can't have our summit. We can't because now we have to be mad at you.
Right.
So anyway, it's a fun story. But our history highlight today, the thing I think had the most impact on history, and it happens the same day, 1960, the Soviet Sputnik 5 carries 2 dogs, 2 rats, 40 mice, 1 rabbit, and fruit flies into space. And they are the first animals to return alive from orbit.
Oh.
Because we want to be able to send people up and bring them back.
Right.
And prior to that, they weren't coming back.
Space Force, yeah.
I love the space stuff. Okay. And that showed that it could happen.
Yeah.
But I'm always amused at that mix. And I've always wondered, like, were they just running loose inside?
Right, yeah. No, poor thing.
They weren't. They were strapped down.
Hard to think about that one.
I don't think the mice would have came back. 40 mice. Exactly. Although there's no cats in this mix. 40 mice, 1 rabbit, and the fruit flies.
I know. The fruit flies are interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
What did that prove to us? Fruit flies.
They live everywhere, right?
So what I missed? Did I miss anything?
No. What's our good transition here?
Well, we already kind of did it twice with the speed race.
That's true.
Soapbox, so now now we just have to go backwards.
So if in case anyone missed it, we do have Amber Hill here with us. She is with Ocean Crest Auto and co-owner. What's the exact title?
Well, technically my dad is still the owner, but he's kind of, we called him a retired owner.
Yes.
He's golfing more than he's in the office these days, but he still comes in.
We're talking about you, Chris. That's Chris Hayward. But you've been involved in this family business. But what brought your family to the North Coast to start with?
The opportunity to buy another car dealership. Yeah, we already had one in Dallas, Oregon. I was born in Dallas, and we had already been there for 15 years, I think, by the time I was born. So my grandpa opened it in 1974, my dad's junior year of high school, and they moved from Beaverton. So before that, he had worked in a lot of different, my grandfather had worked in a lot of different car dealerships in Portland, a Studebaker store, and right before that was Car Chevrolet when the Carr family still owned it. So it was, you know, a long, long time ago. He started in the car business right after he got back from his sign up of World War II. I don't think he actually went overseas, but he was technically in the Navy during World War II. So.
Wow. So how old were you then in Dallas when you guys moved here?
So we moved here when I was going in the sixth grade. So I was 11, I think, when we moved out here. So that was 98.
So jumping before we get into to the business, then you were old enough to remember someplace else. And how did you feel about moving here? Was this like, why do we move to Astoria? Were you excited?
I was so excited. My only, my dad came to tell us because they were actually kind of, him and his brother were doing like a week home and a week here. And that was just, we were too young. That was not going to work. So we decided to move out here. I was excited. I said, does it have a gymnastics center? That's all I cared about. And they did have a gymnastics center at the time. So it worked. And I was stoked. I was ready to move.
I mean, in middle school, that's kind of a rough time too. And from Dallas to the beach.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Well, we started at St. Mary's, the C school. So I went there for sixth and seventh grade. So it was a little bit smaller, a little easier to get into. You know, smaller group of people. It wasn't as scary as joining a new school, like so much bigger and different.
And where was the gymnastics?
Okay, I do not know what building it is, but it was up three flights of stairs. It's now like a ballroom, or they do dance classes there.
Is it the
Movement Center?
Center? The Odd Fellows building.
Oh,
yes.
Is it?
Yeah, okay. We used to have to run through the doorway to do vault, which was really funny. And the equipment went all the way up against, so our floor wasn't full size. And so when we went to gymnastics meets somewhere else, we would fly because their floors were so much bouncier and bigger. And then, I mean, the other equipment was about the same, but it was definitely different. We had come from a place that where I was in Dallas, it was actually in an old Safeway.
Oh, wow.
So, when Safeway shut down, I was like, just move in there. But they had plans. They wanted a parking lot. So
you're like, I have an idea.
Yeah.
Give me a grocery store.
Yes. Tall enough ceilings.
But you ran through the doorway.
We had to run through the doorway because the vault, it wasn't like enough length. Or at least I did. Maybe not everybody did, but I needed a little more running room.
Oh, how interesting. Do you remember anyone else that was in gymnastics at the time with you?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them still live around here that I know. That are still, you know, kids same age and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool to see them again. We weren't a very big team. I think there was like five or six of us when I did
it. Interesting.
Yeah.
And now our girls are on Infinity Gymnastics competitive team together.
Yep.
But it's not much bigger. I mean, it's still.
Oh my gosh. It feels so much bigger.
25 girls or so, right?
I think it's 36 this year.
Oh, 36. There we go.
It's grown quite a bit since they started.
Yeah. Exciting. So going back, go ahead, Mac.
So talk a little bit about that, because we talked a little bit on the air beforehand, or off the air before we went on the air, because I was speculating. I couldn't remember if your dad had bought from Lovell, Bob and Mary Lovell, Lovell Auto, three generations. And I kind of thought there was a year gap, and you confirmed that to the best of your knowledge.
Yes.
But you were still in that building. And what building was it when your dad first acquired the business?
Yeah, I think it was called the Lovell Building. I'm not sure that it was, I didn't know about all these building names when moving there, but where Fort George is now is still just a trip for me to go back to. I think at one point I had gone to the restroom in there where they serve the tasting room.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a really long time ago, so it's probably not the same, but it was like the same bathroom. And it just cracked me because I used to clean the bathrooms for like extra money for getting presents or something. And I was like, oh, I know this bathroom. And it's like, that's the service department to me. And like the, this is the old body shop that I was too scared to go into.
Do you look for like the drains in the floor to see if they're still there? And
No, I'm just like, man, this is so much cleaner and nicer looking than when we were there. And I'm like, I bet that basement isn't as creepy as when I was. Jeez. Used to have to take parts down there because they're where they sell their merchandise used to be the parts department, which I think is so fitting that they're like selling merchandise and what was a parts department and whatnot. And they've done such a good job with it, but it definitely did not look that nice. And then where all those food trucks are was our used car lot.
Oh, and across the street.
Yeah, and then where it was the co-op, now it looks like it's
right. It's another restaurant.
Yeah, another restaurant, and that was our new car parking lot and detail shop. So it's kind of just funny, like how spread out we were. We'd have to walk blocks, and this was before you had, you know, cameras and cell phones to like reach people and stuff. So your word of the day probably was very fitting sometimes.
Right.
Sure. Could hide.
But those are small lots too. I mean, I can't even imagine. I mean, because that's not very many cars that you could fit. Right?
Oh, I think we got real creative and were able to fit quite a few cars. I think that bottom lot could fit like 25, 30 maybe cars. They're just all parked in there. To get one out, you might have to move three.
Okay.
Because they'd really be parked in there.
And when did you get an interest in the business? Was it forced upon you?
Definitely not forced. I mean, we all worked there growing up. It was kind of a requirement summer job. And you had to start at the bottom washing cars. Then we worked in the parts department, stocking shelves and stuff like that. But when I went to college, I got a business degree in marketing from Oregon State University. And I went and, you know, had my apple fall as far away from the tree as possible. And I went to Enterprise Rent-A-Car. And I rented cars.
Here in Astoria? Or
actually,
somewhere?
I did. Funnily enough, I did promote to Astoria about a year and a half into my career with them. And I ran that store for about 6 months, but I got engaged while I was out here. And my husband was like, can you move back to Portland? And my now husband was like, can you move back to Portland, please? So I went back to Portland, but I worked for them for about 5 years. And I was, you know, looking at the car sales department with them. And I was like, well, this just feels silly. And at the time, you know, so I went and talked to my dad and was like, clearly I'm just liking the field and industry. So what does that look like? And that was almost 9.5 years ago. So 2015, me and my husband moved back. Well, he moved here for the first time. He is not from here. But I moved back and I've worked in every department and done everything and have really enjoyed it, obviously, because I'm still doing it.
And so 9.5 years ago at that time, is your dad really thinking succession plan? Like what does that look like in the business too? Because you can't just promote, right? I mean, you do have to
be good at it.
Right.
Yeah.
And understand that there's a lot to it.
Yeah. I think that was like the first year and a half of working for him was him figuring out if I was really gonna like it, wanna do it, wanna live out here. My husband's never lived in a small town, so this was a little bit of a shocker for him going to the grocery store. He started hating going to the grocery store with me because we'd run into so many people and be stopped, which was so fun for me. But he was like, it takes an extra hour, I'll just go without you, which kind of also worked out for me too. But so yeah, that kind of did. And then he sent me to dealer school about a year and a half in. My daughter was 5 months old when I started, and she was 18 months old when I graduated. And I just learned a lot about the dealerships and how to run them. And the very last class, when you go there and you are a part of a family business, like we were, is succession planning. So that's kind of probably when he first started that process fully, and knowing that I was probably here for the long run and I'm going to make it, and kind of just have gone from there, taken over a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more.
So somebody gets into a business of some kind, and maybe they like doing one aspect, but then they get promoted or they become the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Are there aspects of ownership that you kind of miss? I used to get to wash the cars and I don't anymore. I used to get to do this and I don't anymore.
Oh, I'll go still wash a car. Nothing will stop that. Enterprise taught me how to wash cars in suits, so I'm pretty good at not getting myself too wet. I think that's one of the things I like about being a dealer, a person in a smaller town. I mean, if you're working at a large dealership in a large city, you might not even know all your employees' names and who they are. And I do, and I walk through every department. I try to daily. But I still will get in the trenches and do what they need to, you know, needs to be done. I'll take a customer home or pick them up. But yeah, you get a kind of away from that a little bit more. I like talking to people. So sometimes I don't get to see as many customers as I want to, just because of all the other things I have to do. But that's the piece that's probably the most fun for me.
And being here, I mean, your husband's involved in the community now because you say he doesn't like grocery stores, but he's a huge fan of sports here.
Yes. Yeah.
So he'll go to the games and all the things. And what has that been like for you, too? Because
it's so funny
in Warrington.
Because people will always be like, so who are you guys here watching? I'm like, my husband just likes sports and wants to support the local community. So you'll see him at a lot of different games, specifically basketball. He was a college basketball player, so that is his probably favorite sport. But he's gone to a lot of football games and not baseball. That's not really been his sport. No. But he probably would if he – they're not – they're like during the day. Those games seem to be earlier than other games. So, but yeah, he'll be out there cheering them all on. And we just went to that story. I had a really good basketball year. We went to those playoff games. Don't know anyone on the team.
Oh.
Super fun.
That's
though.
Funny.
Yeah.
So being from here and choosing to live here, what do you love most about being able to have all the aspects here? Your family's here, your job's here. And you grew up here.
Yeah, well, I love the no traffic. I live 6 minutes from work. It's great. But also just the community you create, like carpooling, you know. A lot of my friends that live in a big city, they don't really have that as much. Getting to know people when you do go to the grocery store, getting to say hi, just the way you can be involved in the community is really fun for me. I like to be involved. I was involved a lot growing up in high school and everything. So getting to come back and still get to give back to the community I live in is really nice, because we also don't have all the extra time we're doing things, sitting in a car, getting from point A to point B. We're just kind of able to enjoy living here a lot more. Although I don't go to the beach a whole bunch, which people think is hilarious, but I just don't have as much.
So anybody that grew up here and went to school here, I always like to just ask, just for the record, any favorite teachers that you remember that had a big impact on you and why?
Oh, that's a wonderful one. A lot of them. I still see a lot of them, actually. But, you know, Diane Dick was my volleyball coach. I really loved her. I still love running into her. Mr. Hackwith. I will always call him Mr. Hackwith. I know he has a first name, but he's Mr. Hackwith to me. But I did my senior project with him. He also was a volleyball coach. He still teaches drama at the school. Mr. Hyan was the principal my senior year only at Warrington. So he was still there this last year. I think he might not be there anymore. I'm not sure. But so it was just, those were wonderful people. Miss Whitney. I mean, really, I got to know a lot of my teachers. I was very involved in school. So.
And the size of the school, what did you think about that? I mean, was it similar to Dallas? I mean, because it's pretty small.
Oh, it's definitely a lot smaller than Dallas.
Was it?
Yeah. Dallas is like a 6A school or 5. Yeah, they play Portland schools. I did not go to Dallas Public Schools, so I'm not 100%. It was not that crazy for me because the class size was really similar to what I was used to. But... it cracks everyone else up when I tell them I had a graduating class of 45. But yeah, it wasn't too crazy for me.
And it hasn't grown that much. right?
It's still like the same class size.
It's pretty small.
Different kids.
Yes, but. Different kids. Yep. Amber did graduate.
Okay, yeah. So normally I'd ask something stupid like, what's your favorite car? But that would be biased because you would kind of have to answer probably something that you sell. So my alternate question, where's your favorite place to drive a car?
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a good question. Well, if I don't want a speed limit and to get pulled over, I did like the racetracks in Las Vegas. That was pretty fun to drive, but apparently I'm not super exciting because they kept telling me to go faster.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that's not racing. I like to drive I-5. My car drives itself, so I just turn it on and let it drive all the way up to Seattle.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't touch the wheel till I get to my exit.
That just seems wrong.
Yeah.
I'm too much of an old school. That scares me.
Well, she is still sitting there, thankfully.
I am. It has a camera that it sees my eyes. And if I look, if I like want it to look away or pass something to my kids, it will vibrate my whole seat and tell me it's going to turn off. So,
How interesting.
But it's kind of nice. It's like a little bit better than just cruise control.
So you can't read a book.
You cannot read a book or look at your phone or fall asleep. It would say that you're not paying attention and you need to pay attention, but it will slow all the way to a stop and then go all the way back up to the speed limit.
Okay. So this isn't going to be broadcast. We're not going to record this or anything. I'm lying.
Yeah.
What's the stupidest feature you've ever seen on a car that you're like, this is just ridiculous? Why is this being installed in a car?
Stupidest. That's a great question.
No, it's not.
Because it's really interesting because what I might think is dumb is another person's treasure. I really hate the kick open feature to open the car. You can never kick in the right spot. It's on your keypad, so just get your key out a little early. But the point is if your hands are full, you can go and kick. But then I just feel like I'm stupidly kicking at my door
until
I finally just pull the button open.
The reason I love that one is because I look for those people in the parking lot. Because she's right. It never works.
Just plan. Yeah. Plan in advance. Get the key out before you grab
the
kids or before you grab the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. The kick feature.
I'm very pleased with the outcome of that question.
Yeah.
Now you're going to start looking for it in the parking lot.
I know, like I do. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things that will keep you here? Or are you staying? Is that your succession plan?
Yeah, this is pretty long term. My 7-year-old says she wants to be me someday. So maybe group number four.
Yeah. Generation.
But it would take quite a feat to move me out of here. I think I really want, this is where I want my kids to grow up and be raised and graduate maybe from the same high school I graduated from, which I think is cool.
I love that. What else is there out there? What organizations that you're involved with that you want to plug?
Sure. I'm on the CMH Foundation board. So I really love working with them on, especially with our Build CMH campaign. I'm also, with Seaside Rotary. Haven't been to a meeting in a while. Sorry, guys. Love you. But I do love them. They're a great, great group of people.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Yeah. You've done all the things. And you've been involved in so many other nonprofit organizations as well through the years. So thank you for your service and for your family's service and commitment, because they do donate and sponsor quite a few events and organizations on the North Coast.
Thank Indeed. You. All right. Go make some history. Thanks for listening. We will catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.